Hello, and welcome to the Mountaintop Marriages radio broadcast with Roger and Lorene Traver. Mountaintop Marriages is a marital ministry focused on teaching marriage principles from the Word of God. And now let's get into today's program.
When under attack, what do you do? Spiritual warfare. Number two, what do? Don't retreat, resist. You resist it, you stand against it. Stop and pray. Everybody say stop and pray. Whenever you get in trouble with any relationship, whenever you get into a squabble with your wife, and you get into a squabble with Yanni, you simply say, let's stop and pray. Okay. Everybody say, stop and pray.
Stop.
Oh, it's wonderful. What else do you do? Identify strongholds. Yeah, identify strongholds. Lorene and I have given each other permission. Be careful of this. Lorene and I have given each other permission, and we've practiced it enough where we can say, I discern a spirit of self-pity. Please renounce it. I did not say, listen to me, I did not say, you have a spirit of self-pity, you dumb woman. I didn't say you.
Roger used to be the great angry man.
That's right.
His dad and mom, we watched it for years, and his dad would get angry, and his mom would say, you're getting angry.
I am not.
Yes, you are, you're angry.
I am not getting angry.
Yes, you are,
you're
angry.
I told you I'm not getting angry at all.
And they would end up in this huge fight. Okay, so it's like when Roger was getting angry, it was like, okay, how do I express that you're getting angry? And so it was like, I discern a spirit of anger.
Oh, that's good. It gives me a chance to react properly. Because she didn't say you. She said, I discern a spirit of anger. Please renounce it.
Now, you have to be a mature Christian to do this.
You have to
have practiced just identifying strongholds. So I wouldn't just jump right into this if I were... especially not with a spirit of anger, but you could get attacked if you don't really know who you are.
But you got to see the end in order to start the beginning. You got to see what the end is. The end is, if you're getting angry and you have a wife that says, I discern the spirit of anger, and I say, I renounce it, you get rid of this thing that's been bothering you for years, and you get rid of it in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Let's go back to it, okay? Renounce strongholds. Just get rid of them. Replace lies with the Word of God. Have the Word under the tip of your tongue. Use your spiritual weapons, all of them. Battle in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, open up with me to Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103 is wonderful. And I know most of you know this probably by heart. Let's just read. Let me read it on my versions because we have different versions. But Psalm 103, the first five verses. They bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, I want to say something about that as we start this morning. Okay, there is an eagle. I believe it's a bald eagle, but I don't know for sure. There is an eagle. It's the only animal in the world. And that's why they use the scripture here that can actually renew its youth, can actually start over. Now, this eagle, I believe it's a bald eagle, has to go into the mountain after it's old, and its beak becomes so encrusted, and it's a meat eater. It has to tear the meat in order to be able to eat the meat, and it cannot do that anymore. So the eagle will literally die, okay, because of the crust on the beak. So it goes up in the mountains, and way up in the mountains, I mean high in the mountains, you're talking 13,000, 14,000 feet or more, and it will actually find a little stream, find a little cave, and it will literally pull out every feather on its whole body. And then in the cave, right beside the wall, because it's just totally unprotected, and it will take its beak, and it will sit there for days, sometimes even weeks, and hit its beak against the wall. Just kind of go bang, 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 and knock that crust off of the beak in order to get rid of the crust so it can eat meat again. In the meantime, all the feathers are growing back. And in the meantime, if any animal comes along at all, a ground squirrel can kill that stupid eagle. Okay, so it's like he has to totally expose himself to the environment. He has to say, I'm willing to work at and just almost give up my life in order to be renewed again. But when he does that, day after day after day, that crust comes off, and it's just totally new. He can go back to being renewed again like he was before, and he can live just as long after that as he lived up to that point. And he can do this several times if he wants to. And that's why it says we're renewed like an eagle, because the eagle can renew himself and start all over again and be totally refreshed. But that takes a lot of work. a lot of work, a total dedication, total exposure, opening yourself up, being honest and clear and just open to the Lord and let the Lord do that to you. But you can be able to be hurt when you do that. And that's what we want you to do today is be open to the Lord. Be open to your mate. Be open to hear from God today and let go of your trees and just do some things that you maybe haven't done in a few years. Just be open to Him.
Do you know that restoring our marriage wasn't all roses? I mean, there were a year or two there when I came back and when he decided to let me back, that it was hard. We were exposed. There was pain.
That's right.
And we were beating our beaks against the wall. But you know what? The pain sometimes it is necessary in order for the Lord to get you clean and sanctified and filled and to renew you and to make you to be what He created you to be in the first place. And so it's like it's worth it. It's worth it. And if you don't get anything out of this weekend other than just keep climbing, don't give up the climb. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how horrible you think it is with Jesus. I'm clarifying. With Jesus, He can turn it around. And if you both just keep your hearts open and obedient and you're willing to die to yourself and your selfishness and all the junk that's not of the Lord, then He can just bring it back and make it beautiful.
Praise the Lord. Hey, good time today. We have a whole lot of topics we want to cover. And we want to cover some things that some of you have had before already, but we'll cover them quickly. We just need to go back to them and pick them up. So if you would turn over to page 12, we want to talk about differences of men and women. Now, did we conclude last night that men and women are different? Okay, so they have different responsibilities. So we want to walk through these just very quickly and see these responsibilities and what they are. But I want you to notice up here before we start these. Now, everybody look up here a second, if you would. It says in Ephesians 5:21, be subject or submissive to one another in the fear of Christ. I am submissive to my wife. She is submissive to me. She's a team member of mine. I make decisions, but I listen to her. I'm open to her. We are a team. I love that term team. We are a team, and we love this. So let's talk about responsibilities of men and women and how they're different. Let's talk about this man first. The man is to be the head of his home. What does that mean? He's to be the CEO. He's to be the guy in charge of all that. And what does a CEO do? He runs the business. He's in charge of what happens out there. Now, let me just say this to you guys. If your wife is happy, Yanni, he looks happy. I'd say, good for you, CEO. You're doing a lot of stuff right. You're ministering. You're taking care of. You're looking forward. You're your wife. You're praying with her, reading the word to her. You're doing things right. If your wife is unhappy, there's a reason for that. And it's probably the man, because the CEO is in charge. Now, what happens when something happens in this church that is negative? Who gets to blame for it? You? I don't think so. Who does? Oh, he does. He does. Blame it on him. And he says, I have no clue what they did. Why blame me? He's the CEO. See, it's the same thing for the man. The man, I'm responsible to God for my wife and what goes on out there. When she's happy, God's happy. He said, you're doing a good job, young man. And God calls me a young man. He's been around long enough, he can do that. Okay, so being a head is not a privilege. It's a responsibility. Can you grab the difference there? This is not a dominating thing where I say, I dominate my wife. I command her to do things. I boss her around. That's not what is going on here. I'm the CEO, and I'm responsible to take care of the business and make sure things are going right. By the way, Did you pray with your wife last night? Did you bless her last night? Did you read her the word last night? Oh, this is so good. See, this is bottom line Christianity. This is bottom line, okay? If you'll pray with your wife regularly, the divorce rate goes to 1 out of 1,300. That means every day. A minute and a half? Yes. That's all I ask, okay? If you read her the word, she will feel emotionally fulfilled because you just read her the gospel, okay? So give her a chapter a day, and then if you bless her at night, it takes you all of what, 30 seconds, maybe 15? Okay, it's like, how much time are we talking about here? 5 minutes or less to read a chapter, to pray, and then to bless her. If you do that every day, your wife's going to say, wow, what a CEO I've got for a family. This man is really cool. I am so happy, and I'm so fulfilled, and everything's going great. And the husband says, I'm just doing 5 minutes. I'm not even sure what I'm doing. I'm reading 2 Hezekiah, and it's like, and she's fulfilled by the whole thing? Yes, she is. Okay, see, a woman is so easy to please, but we just don't lay down our lives and die and do it.
Do you know, the majority of men, a lot of them really want to have a good, intimate, excited, creative sexual relationship.
Hallelujah.
Right? But so many men don't understand that if they would just fulfill their wives' emotional needs.
Oh, preach it. Preach, this is good.
I mean, it's so simple.
This is bottom line reality in Christianity.
I mean, it is. It's
true.
101 marriage. I mean, because men are physical, women are emotional. And if you will fulfill their emotional needs, and one, you know, two most important emotional needs to a Christian woman is to pray with her and to read the word with her and to be Christ. Like, and when the husband is that way, she's going to beat you to the bedroom, guys. She will, because she's going to be fulfilled. She's going to feel like a queen. She's going to feel, you know, full. She's going to be ready for you. And she may, like I said, be more ready than you are, just because she's fulfilled. But so many men don't understand.
That's a valuable tip. Is this valuable? This is true. Men strut around the house in their boxer shorts and say, "You ready to go to bed yet?" And she says, "With who?" not with you, ma'am. Okay.
I mean, unfortunately, so many men. You know, we're getting into tonight, but that's okay. But so many men, you know, they come home from work and they do whatever they do. They go out and work on the car, you know, the yard, or I don't know what people do here in California. And they come in, you know, they eat dinner maybe in front of the TV. And
they watch the USC game from the week before, the rerun 5 times, because USC is winning right now. Just wait a few years.
And they don't even, you know, they don't even pay any attention to their wife or their children, and they just go about their evening events, whatever they're going to do. And then it's like, you know, they watch the news, and so it's 10:30, and it's time to go to bed, and their little wife comes in and takes off her clothes, and he's wide awake, you know, spirit, soul, and body. And he notices that his wife is at home, and he's all ready for the bedroom and bed and, you know, sexual intimacy. And he cannot understand why his honey says, you know, "Not tonight, dear."
Those are nasty words.
Let me tell you why she said that. Because she was ignored all evening long. She wasn't treated with respect and honor and ministered to. And
I'm going to learn from this. This is good.
And she wasn't just loved for who she is, not for her body. And it's such an emotional need for women to know that, because by the time women are 17, most young girls, like 78%, I think it is now, have been sexually molested. And if you married a woman, she's probably at some point been sexually molested, either by you or another man. And it turns her off as to what God's concept of sexual intimacy is. And it colors that, because she was abused and demonically victimized. I mean, I see all these women out here going, you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
And a lot of women have never told about their past. But guys, you need to know that your wives need you desperately to build them up, to praise them, to treat them with honor and respect, and to love them for who they are, not just for sexual intimacy. But when you do that, you'll get the sexual fulfillment and then some, because they're fulfilled in their creation, and they're not used. So we'll talk more about that tonight.
We'll talk more about abuse tonight and how to take care of that and how to minister to your wife in that area. But just real briefly, tell me what I'm supposed to do instead of watching TV, changing the oil in the car, watching USC football. What do I do? It's like, isn't that what life's about?
It's very normal.
Very normal.
Very normal.
That's why most people don't have sex. So tell me what I should do.
Right. But if you instead, you come in the morning, you know, you can just thank your wife for how beautiful she looks in the morning. No. My husband said that to me this morning. I woke up this morning and he's laying about that far from my face looking at me. And I woke up and he's there and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just looking at you. You're so beautiful in the morning." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, keep this man deceived." No. but it's like, you know, just praising, building up, you know, maybe, you know, compliment her on the meals. If it doesn't ever get cold here, so you can't help each other on with your coat, but open the car door for her. Open the door when you come in.
Open the car door?
Yeah.
Open the door to the church?
Right. Treat her with respect. I know that sounds foreign in the world that we live in because of, you know, I can do it myself. But you know what? I think that a lot of the women's liberation came because they were angry at men that constantly abused them, and they got so mad and so sick of it, they said, "I can do it myself. I don't need you." And that came out of a spirit of hurt. But a Christian woman wants to be pampered. She wants her emotional needs met. Buy her a rose, a gift. You know what? I would rather have a rose 12 days in a row than a dozen roses one time. Okay, all you women said, "Yeah." Men, do you know why? Don't give them a clue, women.
Why men?
Do you know why? Any man know why? Effort.
Effort. Yeah. Every day.
Effort. It elongates the gift.
That's right.
Effort. Yeah, you think he has to think about me every day. And he goes out of his way to do an act of love. And I know that he really loves me, not just for whatever he can get, but he wants to minister to me and serve me and love me. You've got to understand that, man. I mean, you've got, it's so basic to your marriage. And until you start understanding that and treating and not make fun of her emotions, not make fun when she cries, not make fun when she feels something that, you know, your factuals say one and one is two, and that's just the way it is. And she says, "But honey, I just don't feel quite right about that." That's a gift that God has built into woman. And honor that. Listen to her.
That's right.
Honor her.
That's right. You know what? We come from Kansas, so it's a whole different world, right? Okay. But both of our boys, when they turned 16, had never had an official date. Now, they'd been to all kinds of activities together and different things with girls, and they grew up with girls and that kind of stuff, so no problem. But age 16, they never had an official date. So at age 16, we required them to date Lorene. She had to have a date with Lorene, and I trained them. And I told them, "Your mom is a hard taskmaster, okay? Your nose is right to the grindstone, man. If you fail, you're going to have to do it again. And the second time you have a date with her, you pay. So I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to pay for the gas. You can have the car. You've got your driver's license. You can go to the restaurant. I'll pay for the restaurant. You got to call ahead of time, make the reservation. When you get there, don't have her there, you know, say, you know, it's us. Walk up and say, "We are the Travers, and we have a reservation." When you get into the out of the car, and of course, when you get to the door of the restaurant, open the car or the door for her, and when you find that she's not there, she's still back in the car because she's allowing you to be a gentleman. Okay, so it's like, go back to the car and do what you're supposed to do in the first place and open the car door for her and help her out, okay? And then you get to the door of the restaurant, open the restaurant for her. When you get into the restaurant, you do the seat thing, you know, help her do it, help her take off her coat, that kind of thing. And she's going to be a typical 16-year-old girl that doesn't talk much and doesn't know what to say, and she's nervous. So you're going to have to carry the conversation. So you make out 10,000 questions for her, okay, to ask her while you're having this date. And when she gets up to go to the bathroom, because every woman does, okay, It's like she stands up, you stand up, and you go over and help her with her chair. When she comes back, you help her with her chair. You pay the check. You do the tip. Okay, you help her on with her coat. You help her back in the car. You carry the conversation. You do all this kind of stuff. You pay her compliments. You let her know how good looking she is, what a wonderful mother she is. You tell her all this kind of stuff. And if you pass this, then you can have a date.
Now, I want to tell you something. You know, that's what a woman likes, and that's what men do to get a woman.
That's right.
How long has it been since you've done that, since you got her?
Oh, for most men, it's years.
You need to keep dating at least once a week. You know, if you can't do it once a week, at least twice a week. And you need to keep doing those same things and honoring and respecting.
You said dating?
Dating.
Once a week?
Dating. A date is just with a man and a wife, no children.
No children.
No double date.
No double date. Don't go out with them.
No
guys.
In-laws.
No in-laws.
Outlaws or whatever. But just the two of you. And do those things that you used to do that made you fall in love in the first place. So many times all we do is look at the negative and complain about each other and fight. You know, go out and have fun and minister to one another.
So before tonight when you come back, because you guys are the good guys. You're here Saturday morning. You know, like everybody else is working, but you're here. So I know you'll be back tonight. When you come back tonight, before you come back tonight, I want all you guys to ask your wife or whoever you're with, if you're engaged or whatever, ask her for a date for next week.
And don't say, well, where do you want to go? Traver said that we have to go out on a date. No. You know, you're the head. You think of some place that she would enjoy going.
I know my wife loves Italian food. Oh, my goodness. I can always take her to Italian food. Okay, that's my default on my date. is that Italian stuff. So ask her for a date before you come back tonight. Tell her where you'd like to go, when you'd like to go. If she can't because she's busy at that point or something comes up and you don't know about it because she's a scheduler, change the date, okay? And so tell her we're going to go on Friday night at 7 o'clock and we'll leave at this time. We're going to go to this restaurant. If she can go at that point, mm-hmm. and just ask her out. You can call her if you like. That's kind of fun, too. If she's in the same car and you got two cell phones, just pick up the cell phone and call her on the cell phone. She loves that. She loves that kind of stuff. I mean,
you know, after you do that for a while and you get in the habit, then wives, ask your husbands out. You know, but
that's right.
Do something he likes to do.
That's right.
You know, if he doesn't like to go shopping, don't take him on a shopping date.
That's right.
You know, take him to a game or something that he really enjoys doing. But have fun together.
And I don't know why we're seeing all this, but we need to say one or two more things. There's just some things you just need to hear, just some hints, okay? Ladies, I want to tell you something. When you get to a restaurant and your husband's now heard all this stuff, when he goes on the date this time, he's going to help you with your chair. That means that you get to pick where you sit. Is that right? Okay, so husbands, make sure you help her with the chair and she can pick out whatever chair she's going to sit at. Always have him facing in. You face out. You know, why is that true? Because what's he going to look at, okay, if he's facing out? He looks at, oh, there's the waitress, man. Oh, man, she spilled ketchup all over her shoulder. Okay, look at that. Oh, she almost dropped the glass. Well, I think I know that guy over there. And he's looking at all this kind of stuff, okay? So, but that's not you. You can look at him. You can focus on his eyes and make eye contact. So you set him in, so he's looking at the picture of the duck. There's a duck on the pond, okay? And this guy's going to study that duck for about 3 minutes, and just every little detail he can get out of that duck he's going to see. And then what you do? The only thing left is you. And he's going to make eye contact with you and look at you. So you just kind of have to plan this stuff, okay? Okay, enough and all that.
Okay, so the man is the head.
Yes.
He is also.
Okay, number two, he's the head. Number two, he's to protect and provide. This is back in the garden. You know, the man's always been that way. Man likes to protect and provide. I protect my wife. I provide for her. I'm not trying to say women can't work. What we're trying to get at is I protect her and I provide for her. I provide an environment. I protect her. Don't you tease my wife. My wife doesn't like to be teased. Don't do it. If I'm around, I will correct you because she's more important than you are to me. Okay? When we go home to my parents, I mean her parents, and her parents would say things that you shouldn't be doing that kind of denominational stuff you're into way back when. We said to them, this is what we're doing. Okay, talk to us both. Don't take Lorena aside and talk to her by herself. This is what we're doing, and please talk to us, and it's like stand up for her, okay? Don't let people around you knock your wife. Don't let your children knock your wife. Oh, man, cause those children to honor your wife, You know, if they don't honor your wife, you take them by the collar and you just take them aside and tell them what's going on. Can you really correct them? Okay, it's like your children need to honor your wife, and they need to honor what she's doing, and that she's the boss of the house. When I'm not there, she's boss. Okay, and she what she says goes. You don't kind of wishy-washy trade back and forth on this discipline stuff and discipline, talk about it in front of people and argue back and forth in front of the kids. Quit that kind of stuff. You know, get right with your kids. So it's like you have a disagreement, you tell the kids to stay there, you go outside of the room, you pray about it with your wife, you decide on what you're going to do as far as discipline, you come back in and you say, here's what we're going to do. And we're agreed on this kind of stuff.
And you know, a question that came up over and over and over again in Mexico because of so many blended families, and like I said the other night, you know, there's children from different wives and different relationships and things.
Right.
When you get married, I don't care how many times you've been married before and there's children involved, you have set up a new authority structure. And that authority structure is supposed to be run by God, okay? And in that authority structure, it's no longer my children, your children.
Uh-uh.
It's no longer my money, your money.
No
it's
way.
No longer, you know, my life and your life. You have made a covenant choice, and you did it on purpose. Probably nobody held a gun to your head and said, you've got to marry this person. You chose to do it, and so it now becomes our children,
that's
our
right.
money,
our
discipline. And because if you don't, your children will divide you. They learn, they, you know, two-year-olds are smart. They know how to play mom against dad, and they know how to get their way. And if they can divide you, and they can know that, well, if I go and ask dad, he'll let me do this. You're just asking for trouble. So you need to talk about the discipline
and what
you're going to do.
In Mexico, we had all kinds of wives who said, I can't trust my husband. And it's like, probably true. And I said, why'd you marry him in the first place? You can't trust a guy to take care of your children and minister discipline right. You shouldn't marry that dude, man. Let somebody else marry the slob. Okay.
But if you got married, you can change that demonic spirit of mistrust.
That's right.
By allowing, submitting to each other and talking. And we're going to talk about communications and the importance of talking and sharing how you feel about things and resolving conflicts and resolving problems so that you can have a plan and have a vision. This is what we're going to do. You need to know the end result before it happens. You don't try to decide as soon as you're in an argument with a child. You know, you go behind closed doors, make out your plan, and then you together tell the children, you know, these are the boundaries, this is what's going to happen if you cross the boundary, and we are in agreement, and you know, we are behind each other, and they won't rule you and they won't control you. Mm-hmm. Because Satan uses children and they become master controllers.
That's right.
And so once you figure this out and you see that it's a spiritual stronghold, you can beat it every time.
That's right.
So,
number three, man's to be a leader and administrator. Let me give you a hint of what I'm trying to say here. Years ago, because of our background, when I couldn't pay my bills, you know, just early on in our marriage, like I didn't understand tithing and giving, the whole thing. So it's like we were always in a hurt. And I'd say, do I want to pay the MasterCard or the Visa? Well, I got to pay a minimum payment here. I'd pay this one over here more. It's like I couldn't pay them all off, so I'd make part payments. And Lorene, when she knew that, it really bugged her. She'd say, I want to pay it all off. Well, we can't. Okay, so out of that background, what happened, I started paying all the bills, and I was the financial guy in the family. And I paid the bills, I do the balancing of the checkbook and that kind of thing. And so one day I taught in a seminar, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I taught that the man should keep the books and the woman shouldn't because she's not emotionally capable of doing that. Oh, my goodness. Talk about macho trash, okay? We had a good friend, fortunately, just corrected me right after that thing, and she says, you're just plain wrong. That's just not wrong. I've got a degree in accounting. Okay, I'm an accountant by trade. I love to keep the books. So I keep the books all the time. I balance a checkbook. I keep track of the whole thing. And then once a week on Saturday night for about 10 minutes, we simply get together. We talk about all the money, where it's going. We decide on stuff together. We're together as a family. But I keep all the books and records because I'm very capable. He doesn't know a thing about that kind of stuff and doesn't want to do it at all. So it's like, what's a leader do? a leader. What does Johnny do in your church? Okay, he didn't pick somebody who's a servant, okay, to get up in front of church and preach on Sunday morning, because that person has the gifts and abilities that are wonderful to serve and to minister and to provide for people, but that person's probably not a teacher. So you got to find the people who are capable, who enjoy it, and just you put them in positions where they're really right on, and when you do that, the whole thing succeeds. You become a leader by finding who in the home wants to do what and who's capable of doing what and putting them in those positions. I don't care if it's the same as any other couple. You can be totally separate from them.
See, there's such a difference between control and responsibility, and control and authority. Because a man that thinks that being head and being protector and being leader means to be domineering and judgmental and intimidating and telling you this is what you have to do and this is what you have to do and this is what you have to do. That's not authority.
That's right.
That's a demonic spirit of control that is not allowing you to be who God created you to be. And so it's like, we were there, okay? I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. We know this by experience because we tried to do that to each other for years.
That's right.
And we couldn't figure out why we couldn't change the other person, you know? But that's not what God wanted us to do. God wanted us to find out, you know, we have different ministry gifts, and we need to use each other's ministry gifts.
Number four for the man is to love his wife as he loves himself. So it's important that we men love ourselves. I mean, truly love ourselves. Don't down yourself. Come back to who you are in Christ. Get rid of those giant spirits out of your life. Get rid of that impurity in your life. Get rid of all that junk out of your life. Because if I love myself, I can love my wife. If I'm insecure and I'm a mess and I got all kinds of giant spirits jumping around, I can't love my wife. Okay? Number five is that I'm to be submissive to and follow Christ. And we did that last night in 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I am to follow Christ and be submitted to him. I'm to listen to what he has to say to me. If I'm not listening, and I'm just listening to secular radio as I drive down the road, I'm probably a mess and she's probably a mess too. So what do? You say, God, what do you want today? Wake up in the morning, guys, and say, good morning, God. Most guys say, what's that all about? Say, just talk to God. Just talk to God and say, God, what do you got for me? And just listen to him for a minute. And it's like he'll talk to you. I mean, he'll actually talk to you. It's like he may not hear the audible voice, but he'll say, don't do that today. Do this today. Okay? Remember, make sure you open the car door for your wife. Make sure you read her the word before you go to bed tonight. I can do that. Okay, that's good. It's just a good reminder. Okay, so just be submissive to and follow Jesus.
Okay, so a woman, what's a woman's responsibilities? A woman, we read the first night, is to be a helpmate, to be adapted, suitable, and complementary to her husband. She is to get underneath his mission, find out what it is, and lift him up in it, his call in life. Number two, she is to give life. How many of guys have had a baby? Jesus created women to be life givers. The name Eve actually means life giver. That's what her name means. She can give life to the home. A lot of women are the decorators. There are some men that like to decorate, but the majority of the rooms in your house were probably decorated by your wife. She may have let you have the garage or your study or something,
yes.
You know, to decorate.
Put that moose in the garage. That's cool, man.
But she also gives life emotionally.
That's right.
Now, she can create an atmosphere in the home by her attitude. It's like if the husband comes home and you know, there's been strife in the house and the kids are fighting and she's all upset at him and she's complaining about everything and you know, meets him at the door with the list of things that he's supposed to do. And I mean, that's not going to be life-giving to him. But if he comes home and there's peace and there's, you know, the house is in order and there's not that spirit of you know,
and
heaviness and oppression.
There's a smell of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
Right, that always helps.
And she doesn't have curlers in her hair. She looks nice, and she's, you know, it's like when I go to work at the community college, I see a lot of good-looking mm-hmm. women that are dressed mm-hmm. to the hilt and a lot of good-looking girls that aren't dressed at all. Mm-hmm. And when I come home to a wife, like a lot of men come home to a wife, And it looked like she just plain got out of bed, and she's just a mess, and she hasn't cleaned up yet. It's like, I don't want to do that. When I come home to that fresh smell of chocolate chip cookies, or the food cooking, or a nice-looking wife, and I say, wow, is that good-looking, man? You know, so it just adds to the atmosphere of the home, and only she can do that. Nobody else can do it. Well, that's a wife. That's emotional stuff.
Okay.
I love that.
So, give life, women. Pray for your husband. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3 talks about praying for those that are in authority over you. Well, that's your husband's, whether you like it or not. But pray for them. Intercede for them. You know, find scriptures. If there are things in his life that you don't like, shut your mouth and open it in prayer. You know, the more that you condemn him and criticize him and tell him not to, the more you become a mother image to him. And he didn't marry a mother. He married a lover. And he wants you to, you know, encourage him and help him. He knows those are bad areas, don't you guys?
Yes.
You know your weaknesses.
That's right.
And you know that you're trying to overcome them. You want somebody to help you overcome them. You don't want somebody to remind you every day, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure.
That's right.
Because men have this, I mean, this is what Rogers told me. I don't really totally understand men, but I'm learning. but you know, that men would rather, you know, not do something than to do something and fail.
That's right.
Is that true with you guys?
Yeah. I don't want to fail, so why do it?
You know, and so it's like if you keep telling them, gals, that you're a failure, you can't do this right, you don't do this right, you don't pick up your clothes, you don't treat the children right, you don't blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like they're going to quit doing whatever you're telling them that they don't do right.
We have a couple friends who are friends. And he comes to a seminar and gets all excited about reading the Bible to his wife and does for 3 days. And then the fourth day, something happens and they go to bed. They're both tired and doesn't read to her. And it's like the next day she says, you never read the word to me. I thought Roger and Marie said you're supposed to read the Bible to me. What's going on here anyway? It's like, well, my goodness, if you're not going to do that, I'm not going to give you sex either. I just cringe, folks. I mean, I just been cringe. Instead, tell the guy, thank you for reading the word to me 3 days in a row. I love that. I appreciate that. And I know we were tired last night and it just plain didn't happen, but I appreciate it when you read the word to me. It's just emotionally fulfilling. And the guy says, yes, I'm going to read the word again tonight.
Okay? That's
and,
right.
And he's back to it. That's just
right.
The way man is built.
That's
it's like
right.
He doesn't want the criticism. He wants the upbuilding. And it gets you a lot further when you build him up than when you tear him down.
It took me years to learn that.
Years.
When I learned all these things, and I started changing me. Remember? Commitment number 8 is change yourself, not your mate. It's amazing how he changed.
That's right.
You know, how his attitude changed, you know, and how he just became so different when I changed. But the fourth thing that a woman is to do.
I want to say one more thing. Praying for your husband. I can't think of anything more critical for a wife to do than to pray for her husband. Mm-hmm. When she prays for me, I just hear from God. I'm okay. The moral impurity is easy to lay down. It's like I become a leader in my home. I take care of the kids. Like she's just praying for me. When she gets critical of me, I become defensive and I watch TV. Okay, it's like I love to see USC get beat. So I watch every week, just hoping they're going to get slaughtered this weekend. You know, but it never happens. I don't understand all that. But see, I just become a man. Instead of being a spiritual leader, I become a man. So when a wife prays for a husband, it's just powerful when you're doing that. You can do it out loud. And by the way, I love this, okay? Talk about your man to other women with positive words. It'll get back to him whatever you say, okay? But when it gets back to a man, okay, 5 days later or 5 months later, you know what your wife said about you? Your wife says that you're cute. I'm cute? I mean, give me a break. Your wife says that you're a wonderful spiritual leader. Your wife says that you pray to her every night, and she loves that. It's like, yeah, that's me, okay? And when that negative stuff gets back to me, it's like Roger, I need to tell you this as a friend, okay? Your wife says that you just don't pray with her ever. my wife told you that? No, my wife told so-and-so, who told so-and-so, who told so-and-so, who told me, because I'm married to her. I was like, I see. I probably never will read to her again. See, there's a whole different mentality there for a man. Okay, so just talk good. When you talk to me about your husband, build him up. Okay, and I know we need to pray about some things. I understand that when we're praying, there's a whole thing there, a whole different dynamic. But generally, talk to each other positively about that man.
Amen. Especially, you know, church is a good place to practice things like that when you're talking to your friends. You know, learn to build each other up. Okay?
See, when I listen to Dawn talk about Yanni, I sometimes think the man is just superhuman. I'd look at him and I think he's just a man.
Awesome.
It's like not to her. It's like she's saying, "Boy, this is a man. Man, he's a man." It's like, good.
Now she may be praying about some things, you know, in private or whatever. And prayer is intercession before
right.
God. So we're not saying you can't ever, you know, look at problems in both the husband and wife, and storm heaven for those things. But we're saying generally, you know, learn to lift each other up. And so the fourth thing that a woman is supposed to do is respect her husband. And I want to read Ephesians 5:33 out of the Amplified Bible.
Yeah, oh, this is good.
And Roger loves this verse.
I love this.
Okay. Yes, they are. They are.
Praise the Lord.
And so it says out of the Amplified.
What's the source
out
again?
Of the King James, it says that wives are to love and respect.
No, no.
That husbands are to love their wives, and
wives
are to respect and honor their husbands.
That's right. Is that simple?
That's very simple. Because God knows that women need love and men need respect.
Give them a quiz here first. Men are to do what? Love, and wives are to respect. Now let's read this out of the Amplified to see exactly what it's trying to say.
Okay, it says, however. Okay, it's talking about the mystery of marriage. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self.
Let's pause here for a second. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Do you understand now why we're saying you have to know who you are in Christ? Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't love yourself, and you want your wife to tell you that you're okay instead of you knowing you're okay, and then you can minister to her.
That's right.
Okay? All right. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband.
This is good.
Parentheses. That she notices him, regards him, honors him, mm-hmm. prefers him, mm-hmm. venerates and esteems him, that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly.
Hallelujah.
Now, I read this. And all right. that is
That's
in
right.
respect. I read this scripture, and this lady came up afterwards, and she said, "You don't know my husband. There's nothing to respect about him." And I just kind of jokingly said, "Well, does he tie his shoes okay?" And she says, "Well, yes." And I said, "Then tell him.
Tell him.
Honor something that he does. And respect him and build him up as a person, and then all of the sin in his life will begin to fall away."
That's right.
Because he's hearing good, he's hearing love. You know, First Peter says, I think it's First Peter 3, it talks about how the wife can win a husband that is not born again just by her behavior, by the way that she lives her life, by the way that she loves. By the way that she loves and honors and respects.
Right.
You know, marriage is hard work because we have to change to do these things. It doesn't come naturally. And generally there's things that have happened that make us the way we are, and the Lord needs to clean that up. But isn't that an awesome scripture in the Amplified?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. And then the last thing is the woman is just to be submissive to and follow her husband. And we've already talked about how easy that is when the husband becomes truly dedicated and submitted to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We need to do a little exercise this morning. If you would, turn over to page 19. And on page 19 and 20, there are two identical sheets called Life Priorities. So pull one of those out. If you want to pull both of them out, whatever you do. If you want to leave one of them in, you can. But you both all need a pen. You all have a pen? You might need a pen. We got pens this morning. We need a pen. Yeah, Jan, you got some pens?
There's some
here. Yeah. We need back here, right there, maybe. Well, she's just scratching her head. Okay. Everybody need a pen? Now, this life priorities. You want to assign both of them? Okay, so mark that page. Turn over then to page 59 and 60. 59 and 60. Turn over to page 59 and 60. 59 and 60. Or page 59 and 60. On page 59 and 60, there's another assignment called time management. Time management. So pull out one of those or both of those if you like. We're going to have you do two projects at the same time. It's not going to take us very long at all. Both these are really easy to do.
One for both the man and the woman. Now, it takes time to have a good marriage, but you must have the right priorities. Now, the life priorities, we told you the first night what God's authority structure and life priorities are. We don't want you to put down what the Bible says. We want you to put down what reality says in your marriage. We want you to be honest. Are your priorities out of whack? You know, who's first, who's second, who's third, and you know, evaluate it, and then evaluate your time. You know, do you have enough time to put each other first and to, you know, really work at your relationship, or are you both so busy doing your own thing that you just kind of meet like two ships in the night? And so after you get done filling them out, exchange them and talk about these two things for a little bit, okay? And again, don't get into conflict because we're talking about that in about an hour, okay?
By the way, on the life priority sheet, do the top half and then skip over to the time management sheet and do it. And if you have time, come back and do the bottom half of life priorities. Just do the top half for now and then trade papers and talk about that. Yeah, good. Okay, take a couple minutes and try that. It's just fun to watch you share back and forth. I just want to say one more thing about time management. Californians are so slow. They don't do things quickly. They're not ever busy. They're not overcommitted. They don't have enough to do. Yeah, that's really strange. We were out in California, staying with my brothers in L.A., the far side of L.A. a few years back. And this guy at the tire place told me, he says, we went to Kansas once. And we stopped in, and I thought, this is so nice and so relaxing, I'm just going to stay here. He said, I survived 4 days. He says, the restaurants close at 8. The tire places close at 6. He says, the whole town closes down. He says, I need stuff to do, man. I want stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm from California. And I thought, you guys, above all people, have too much to do. Now, I guess what I want to do is just kind of give you an idea, just to how do you cope with all that. When things come up, to do more good things. And there's lots of good things to do in this church. When the things come up, there's things you can ask yourself to really determine whether you should do them or not. About 15 years ago, my boss came to me, personal friend but boss, came to me and said, I have a racquetball court every Thursday night. It's paid for. You don't have to put a dime into it. He said, I'd love to have you come play racquetball with me. And I thought, I'm getting out of shape. I'd love to do that. So I asked myself the questions. Is this good for me personally? And the answer was, yes, it is. It'll get me in shape. I should really do this kind of stuff. Okay. Number two, like, is this good? What will happen to my family if I do this? At that point in time, we had every night planned. I was going to church 3 times a week. I was a church elder. We had meetings on Tuesday night. We had meetings on Wednesday night. We had meetings on Friday night. Now I was busy every night of the week. The only night we had for family devotions was on Thursday night. But it would be good for me to go do this. But that's the only night we had for family devotions. That was the only night we could have for family devotions, and that would go out the window. So our whole life, we had family devotions on Thursday night, and they could cook their own supper. They could play whatever games they want to. We had a blast on Thursday nights. I mean, it was just plain fun. But I had to eliminate that, and I thought, I cannot do that rightfully. Even though it would be good for me, it wouldn't be good for the family. So I went back to my boss and said, I cannot do that, even though I'd love to. Thank you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. Okay, so there are things you can do to eliminate stuff in your life that should not be done. Second of all, I want to say to you, okay, for years, because Lorraine is good at everything. Okay, well, I was an elder in the church. Okay, all these people come to her and say, God told me that you should lead this. God told me that you should do this. And Lorraine would say, well, God told me, I told you, I guess I better do it. And she was totally overcommitted, okay, just totally overcommitted. So I told her, okay, first of all, I told her how to say no. You say no by opening your mouth and saying no. But second of all, have a routine whenever anybody asks you what to do. So every time somebody comes to Lorena and says, God told me that you should do this, or I feel like you should do this, or you should lead this, she says to them, okay, I will pray about it. I promise you I will. And if God tells me the same thing that God told you, then I will do that. And if God tells me not to, I won't. But I'll let you know by this date, 3 days from now. Then she said, I'm going to pray with Roger about it. We're going to come into agreement. She comes to me and she says, so-and-so told me to do this. Let's pray about it. We pray about it. I say, uh-uh. And she says, uh-uh, I agree. She goes back and says, uh-uh, we're not going to do it.
That's protection.
Thank you, sir.
And that is, you know, your husband's protection. Allow your husband to protect you, women. You know, don't become overcommitted in life. Or vice versa. You know, just talk about things. Come into agreement. Pray about them before you make a decision. I mean, don't go out and make decisions on your own. Your life is no longer your own if you're married. I'm sorry. Because you're one. And what you do will affect the person that you live with. And so talk to them about it. Pray about it. Get God's perspective on it. You know, it might be something you're supposed to do, but it might not.
That's right.
So just find out.
Okay, differences in people. Men and women are both different, right? Okay, so we love this. When we were in New Mexico, we took a man and we took an MRI thing? We took a scan of his brain. We took a typical woman there and took a scan of her brain. We want to show you the brain of a typical man and woman from New Mexico. Now, this may not be the same here, but it probably is. So let's just show you the brain. Here's a typical man. And the slice of it. By the way, the man sees things physically through his eyes. And the biggest part of his brain is the sex hemisphere. He thinks about it all the time. Okay, then he has all kinds of stuff. A computer game part of the brain. He has a self-defense gland. Let me see if I can get this a little clearer, because I just need to make this clear enough for us. He has a remote control addiction. Then here's his emotions down here. They are there. It's just that they're hidden usually. And then the listening particle is over here. So it does have a listening particle, but it's very small. He has to develop that part of his brain. His attention span again is also very small, but it's there. Okay. Stop and get directions. It's there. It's there, but it's small, folks. I mean, it's just a tiny part of it. Sports and TV lobe. Visual sex thoughts, a math portion up here. That's what a typical man looks like. Is that pretty accurate? Now, I heard most of you ladies laugh. I didn't hear a whole lot of men laugh. But I want you to keep on laughing, ladies, when I show you the female brain. Here's a woman. And she sees with her heart. She sees what, and she has this big emotional care hemisphere right here. It's the biggest part of it. But over here, she has a bossy mother gland. And she has the let's talk at midnight lobe down here. Oh, yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's out there in the man. And by the way, here it is. There's sex is there in the brain. Okay, there's sex in the brain of every woman out there. She just has to find it, okay? Firelight and chocolate, and these are just part of most women.
But firelight and chocolate and flowers help her find sex and develop it.
and then there's this irrational thinking lobe. Okay, and that's what causes a lot of the tears for a woman. Okay, so men and women are different in how they see things, how they act, how they react. That's just a different part of it. The brain just works different.
So let's talk about the differences between men and women and their different needs, because if we're created so different, obviously we're going to have different needs.
That's
now,
right.
Now, everybody has a need for acceptance, attention, approval, affirmation. You know, we want to be loved. We want to be cared for. We want space, autonomy. Everybody has those specific needs. But when our basic needs in life are not met for one reason or another, we always, no matter if we're man or woman, we begin to feel rejected, neglected, used, or abused.
That's right.
And so now, let me ask you a question. Who is ultimately responsible for meeting your needs of acceptance and telling you who you are?
Yeah.
God. You know, you can't ever, you know, expect your mate to give you security in life as far as a creation.
Security comes from God?
Security comes from God.
Okay.
Security comes from the Word of knowing who you are in Christ.
That's
and
right.
Not believing Satan's lies. However, when we get married, the purpose of marriage is to give emotional love, give physical acceptance, approval, give attention, give affection. We are to give.
We're to give.
That's why, you know, marriage is based upon giving, servanthood. That's why you're supposed to get married. You weren't supposed to get married.
That's agape love.
That's agape love. You weren't supposed to get married just to get. It's supposed to be a picture of Jesus and the church, and Jesus gave to the church. So that's what God's concept of marriage is. So you can help God out by ministering to your mate and giving them things that they need as a man or a woman. And they're not going to be the same things that you need. So you have to find out what these needs are. Now, we've, you know, done a lot of different ways to do this, but we... For time's sake, we a lot of times open it up and have you men tell us what your needs are and women tell us what your needs are, but we have compiled them from different groups that we've been in of what men and women have told us that their needs are. So we're going to use these, and we're going to go through the list, but on page 18,
18 and
or 19 and 20, which one is it?
18 and
19,
I think. 18
and
19? Maybe.
It says my needs. We want you to take those out. Take them out
of
your workbook.
Can you find those pages?
Workbook.
It says my needs. 18 and I think it's 18 and 17 and 18.
18?
17 and 18.
Okay.
Good.
17.
All right. Pull both those out.
Pull them out. And Roger's going to talk about what men need first. Now, when he goes through this list, what we want you to do is, if that's a need of yours, we want you to put the number of that need on your my need list. Now, and then I'm going to go over the women's needs, and you put the number of what your needs are and put them on that list. But make sure that you put something on your my needs list, because we're going to do something with it. And, you know, many people say, well, I don't know what the needs of my mate are. Or maybe you say, well, I've told my husband or wife what my needs are, but they don't ever meet them. Well, gals, I'll give you a hint. If you told your husbands once, you probably need a reminder.
Amen.
They probably need a reminder.
That's right.
And just so this is your opportunity, both of you, to write it down, and we're going to have it in black and white.
Okay, so men, you've got your my needs list available, the blank sheet. And when I read these, even if this needs being met, write it down. It's like number one says, needs respect to be recognized as the one in authority. Now, that may be happening, may not be happening, I don't care, but if you need that in your life, which I do, I'm going to put down number one on my list of needs, okay? All clear? Now, by the way, as we're doing this, ladies, if you would, really be attentive, because this is what men told us to write down. This is what men said. Okay, it's like we've asked people afterwards, are there any other things you want to change? And they've told us, so we'll give you the changes too. But for all you ladies, listen to these. And when we do the women's needs, all you men listen up, because she's going to write down stuff. But we men can learn very quickly by looking at this list of needs what a woman's about. Okay, number two for man. Needs to be the provider, to be the financial provider, and be fulfilled in his occupation. Okay, he wants to have the money come in. He wants to be successful. Number three, he needs wife to satisfy his sexual desires and drives, seeing flesh. Did I say that? And having regular, exciting intercourse. Do you think they ran out of ink? They're writing down number three five times? Okay. Number four, needs approval and praise to be built up. Number five, needs a wife who is grateful and thankful for his efforts around the house. I have a honeydew list at home. She's grateful, and I love that. She says, thank you. I love that. Number six, needs understanding. By the way, I did not say needs agreement. I said needs understanding of what he's thinking and saying so you can hear his point of view. Number seven, needs affection and touching at times besides just when having intercourse. I love that stuff. I love to walk hand in hand around the block. I just love the shoulders and like touching toes. That's good. I'm sorry. Number eight, needs to be listened to, not just talked at. Number nine, needs a wife to verbally communicate her feelings, to say it. Speak it. Put it out there and say it. Don't just sit there and be quiet.
My poor husband, he used to come home, you know, early in our marriage, and I would be ticked off about something, you know, and he'd walk in, and he could tell by my body language that there was something wrong. And so he would say, Is there anything wrong? No.
No.
You know, men hate that.
I hate that. Because I didn't know if it was me, or it's the kids, or it's her friends. Like, I just need, if it's not me, then I can focus on how can I help you. If it's me, how do I need to change? But I need to know something.
So we're going to talk about how to verbally share our feelings in a positive, good way without attacking your mate in just a little bit.
Number 10, needs a wife that believes in him. Oh, I love that. Number 11, needs quality time with Jesus and Bible reading. I need to be able to...
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information and materials for Mountaintop Marriages, to contact the Travers, or for a detailed seminar schedule, please visit www.mountaintopmarriages.org. And remember to keep climbing until you reach the top.